China's soft power, its cultural influence, is getting a boost from an unlikely place. Western Gen Zers engaging in Chinamaxing. In case your pop culture fluency is lagging, the term is an internet evolution of min-maxing game theory, in which players channel their energy into a single skill. Other Generation Z derivatives include looks-maxing and sleep-maxing. Chinamaxers drink warm water and wear house slippers. They participate in mahjong clubs. They join the Chinese social media app RedNote, where they find friends abroad. Critics of the trend say that Chinamaxing glosses over the Chinese state's human rights issues, or that it presents a superficial view of China. But at the heart of Chinamaxing are young people bridging cultural divides to connect with and understand one another. Foreigners come to learn some of our Chinese culture, understand some of our customs and lifestyles, and then start imitating us. One teacher in China tells Ann Scott Tyson, our Beijing bureau chief, "We're very proud." It's Wednesday, August 19th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Mackenzie Farkas. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. ABC and the Walt Disney Company preemptively sued the Trump administration. Filed against the Federal Communications Commission, the suit relates to an April order from the agency calling for Disney's 8 owned and operated television stations to file their broadcast license renewals years ahead of schedule. The companies claim the order violates their free speech rights and describe it as an existential threat in their lawsuit. The FCC says the early renewal is tied to an investigation of Disney's diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. The agency and President Donald Trump have frequently criticized the network, including pressuring ABC to suspend late-night host Jimmy Kimmel last year. Southeast Asian countries are grappling with school shootings. A student live-streamed himself opening fire, killing two, including himself, in a southern Philippines high school on Tuesday. The incident occurred just weeks after a similar incident in the central city of Tacloban prompted President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to demand heightened security in schools and workplaces. While the archipelago consistently ranks number one in Asia for gun-related deaths and firearm crimes, campus shootings remain relatively rare. Thailand, which has more guns per person than the Philippines, tightened firearm controls last week after its own deadly school shooting. Also, a Chinese animated film mocked as terrible became a box office hit. Neolai, a film about a calf dreaming of his family, initially earned just about 10,000 yuan, or about $1,480, in its first 10 days after its August 5th release. On Monday, its daily box office soared to 8.2 million yuan, or more than $1.2 million, with nearly 300,000 admissions. The film's rudimentary 3D animation has drawn mocking comments online, with some calling it unbelievably terrible. Despite criticism, some viewers appreciate its simplicity. The film, made by just two people, has become a viral sensation, attracting young audiences intrigued by its oddity. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. In the United Nations 80 years, it has been led by 9 secretaries general, none of them women. But as the UN begins the process of electing a successor to Antonio Guterres, pressure is mounting to shatter its glass ceiling. 4 top candidates are women. Howard LaFranchi reports from the United Nations for The Monitor. A spate of cyber attacks on water utilities across the United States last month were resolved quickly. Yet the incidents underscore weaknesses, particularly in small or rural towns with fewer resources to protect infrastructure. Some trade groups are calling for minimum cybersecurity requirements. Henry Gass reports for The Monitor. A Americans are embracing Chinese culture with an enthusiasm not seen since before the pandemic. The shift, welcomed and promoted by Beijing, comes as China works to raise its global standing and displace the U.S. as the world's preeminent superpower. And Scott Tyson reports from Beijing and Seattle for The Monitor. Some experts see dropping first-year letter grades as a sign of eroding rigor alongside grade inflation and thinner reading assignments. The University of Michigan says its change will help more students acclimate to the demands of college. iReporter reports for The Monitor. Shadowy figures, deep-sea sabotage, and geopolitical skullduggery come together in a fascinating exposé by Wall Street Journal reporter Bojan Penchevsky. In his new book, The Nord Stream Conspiracy, his depiction of both the preparation of the mission and its execution keeps readers hooked. Contributor Malcolm Forbes writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how prediction markets are at odds with the U.S. mood on gambling. Public acceptance of gambling has fallen among Americans, a shift best illustrated by the number of recent victories by states to curb the burgeoning industry of prediction markets, the practice of wagering on the outcomes of future events. Last week, for example, a judge in Washington state cited the online platform Kalshi for deceptive marketing of illegal gambling activities. The company is now blocked from offering event contracts to consumers who wager on predictions in sports, elections, politics, entertainment, culture, tech, and science. The ruling was pretty easy, as the state defines gambling as staking or risking something of value upon the outcome of a contest of chance or a future contingent event, not under the person's control or influence. It follows other successful efforts in several states against operators of prediction markets. These companies admit they make money off people playing the odds or probabilities, even if some people do better research than others on possible outcomes in a given situation, such as the likelihood of the next U.S. strike on Iran, which political party will win an election, or when Taylor Swift would get married. Kalshi earns money from commissions, and its participants, on net, lose money. This illustrates a paradox of commercial prediction markets, stated a paper published in 2025 from researchers at University College Dublin. Those with the most accurate views will most likely not participate. In other words, this market is for dupes, not doyens. The popularity of prediction markets has exploded in recent years, led by Kalshi and a similar site called Polymarket. In May, Minnesota became the first state to ban prediction markets from operating within its borders. In addition, several ordinary citizens who have lost money in prediction markets have gone to court to challenge the industry. Unlike the stock market, which improves the allocation of capital to the best-performing companies, prediction markets are solely gambling platforms, in which losers pay off winners in a contest of guessing, not with a presumed skill in mastering unpredictable factors. That distinction might help explain why a recent Gallup poll found the percentage of U.S. adults who report doing any kind of gambling during the past year is 45%, down from 64% a decade ago. The survey also saw a decline in the share of people who say that gambling is morally acceptable, from 67% in 2016 to a new low of 57%. Since 2003, betting on college and professional sports has been relatively flat. The gambling industry appears to be relying on a smaller pool of people willing to lose money in games of chance compared with people who prefer to rely on merit, talent, and hard work. Today's prediction markets probably will never set up an event contract to forecast whether the compulsion for quick wealth combined with an illusion of luck has real staying power. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how understanding our relationship to an all-loving God is effective prayer for young people needing direction. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Clay Collins and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.